Good morning, Sunderland Church. It's great to be able to send you another recorded sermon to you this morning. And I hope you are well, and I hope you are encouraged and keeping safe, but also continuing in the mission that God has called us to. My message this morning for you is entitled this: You Can Continue. And we're going to read quite a long passage. If you've got your Bibles, please, to Acts. If you can turn to Acts chapter 5. And we're going to read an exciting story from verse 17. Acts chapter 5. Let me read it. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said, "yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. I pray that God, you will speak through this message today to the Sunderland Church, to those who are watching online, wherever they are, whoever they're with. Holy Spirit, take this message and speak to them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can continue. In 1995, I made a phone call to an acquaintance at the time who then became a very close friend of mine. He was on the scrap heap of life. He had been a leader, a national leader, but through mistakes in his life, he was dumped on the scrap heap, dumped there by people who he had trusted, and there was no hope for him. And I phoned him and I said to him, go on, continue. And I helped him just do that. And that man continued for another 22 years. In 2001, I received a phone call from someone who had been on my staff when I was a local pastor, but I had to remove him. He was an ex-Irish terrorist. And his voice echoed in the recesses of my mind for a long time after the phone call when he said these words, I will bring you down. And he had a very good try at that. But I found that I could continue. In 2012, I remember walking out of a hospice, having journeyed through the valley of a shadow of death for one of my loved members of my church who died far too young. And standing in the hospice car park with tears in my eyes, I announced to God that it was over. I was finished. And he graciously told me to shut up, and I found that I could continue. In 2017, the man who I encouraged to continue in 1995 and who became my spiritual mentor suddenly died without warning. I didn't get to have a conversation with him. He was gone, and I have missed him terribly. And in the last 4 years, I've needed him, but I have found that I can continue. People may have stirred malicious lies against you. Whisperings of your name may have spread, but you can continue. You may have been battle weary, tired from doing so much good and yet receiving so much bad back. You can continue. Your circumstances may threaten you. Vivid pictures of your demise may be in your mind, but you can continue. You see, when one door closes, may come crashing in on you, another door beautifully opens up, and you realize that no matter what comes against us, you can continue. Now, in this wonderful story that we've read in Acts chapter 5, let me ask you three questions. Where were they? Where were they? Where were the apostles? Where were they? Well, they were contained. Look at verse 18. Arrested, put in a public jail. Friends, it doesn't matter what has gripped you or what has trapped you. It will never have the final say over you. This is just a season that you are in. The apostles who are the sent ones are going nowhere. And maybe you think you're treading water today and going nowhere. You may even be publicly disgraced. People may slander you, and you may be like the apostles, contained in a public jail. Hold on, don't panic. God hasn't finished with you yet. They were contained. They were held overnight. But, can you see that amazing word in verse 19? But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. God is still the God who brings us out of seasons and circumstances and situations. You may be in a nighttime wondering what tomorrow will bring, but do not fear. You may be in a nighttime, I don't mean you can't sleep, but maybe you feel that that is just the best way to describe my situation today. It's the night time. Folks, God can turn nightmares into dreams. He can turn your night into a day, your darkness into light. He can bring you out. Amen. They were contained. They were held overnight, but they were in suddenly in the daybreak. At daybreak, verse 21, they entered the temple courts. You may be blinded by the night, but hearing a call for your life when the day breaks. You may be imprisoned in the night, but walking free at the dawn. You can be trapped by the darkness, but at daybreak you can be rising again. Today, the dawn will rise on people all over the world. The dawn of resurrection, the dawn of realization, the dawn of redemption. If you are still here on earth during the daybreak, then you had better remember what was said to you in the night time. Some make promises during the night, but then forget their commitment to God in the daybreak. Daybreak signals activity, not apathy. Some go through the day behaving like it is the night time. Daybreak is for waking up to work for God. Daybreak is for serving God. Daybreak is for speaking out the message of Jesus Christ. May the dawn rise on you today. Where were they? Well, they had been contained, but during the night an angel of God came and they were in the daybreak, and then it was discovered they were not there. On arriving at the jail, they couldn't find them. We are not in the jail anymore. We were there, but not anymore. We are not in the darkness. We are not prisoners anymore. We are not in the dungeons of despair. We were chained, locked and key, but to the thick walls of banishment. But you won't find us there anymore. We are not there. We are here. We were in and we couldn't get out, but God made a way. He opened the door. And if we live, we walk with Christ, and if we die, we live with Christ. So go to the jail, examine our chains. We were dead and buried, but today we are alive, now forevermore. Amen. They were contained. They were held overnight, but the angel of God came. And in the daybreak, they were brought out. They were not in the jail anymore. See, they were not where they should have been. We found the jail securely locked, the guards standing at the doors. But when we open them, there's no one there. There's nothing wrong with the locks. Security was impenetrable. Along with that, there was guards keeping a watch over the jail. Those guards were neither asleep nor were they absent from the post. We're trying to describe how impossible it was to break in or break out. We are not sure whether someone broke in or whether the prisoners broke out. We cannot explain this. Friends, there are times in our life when we have to say, that was God, I can't explain it. I came through what I thought I would never come through, and it had to be God. But even more so, others will say to you, when they look at you, they'll say, you shouldn't be there, you should be here. How did you get where you are today? Someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing, teaching the people in the temple courts. Look, there they are. Behold. See, it doesn't matter where you put them. They still remain standing. We silenced them, but they are now teaching the people. Their voice will never go to sleep. It doesn't matter what happens to the church. You try and contain the church, it will break free. You try and silence the church, the voice will cry louder. Where were they? Well, they were no longer in prison, that's for sure. Who was with them? Look at verse 32. Peter says, having talked about the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the exaltation of Jesus, we are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses of these things. Can you imagine if there was a full stop after those words? We are witnesses of these things. See, Peter said, we saw the death of Jesus. We saw the resurrection, and we were there for the ascension. We can witness firsthand these things that happened to Jesus. that he was indeed the prince and the savior of the world. Now, all that would have been well and good. But what happens if it was just full stop? Then we would have now just a religion like all other religions. We would have been following something that the first century apostles, that their experience of Jesus. That's not what Peter says. He says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit has not passed away. Peter's died, but the Holy Spirit is alive. He's alive today. Where? In your life. In generations and generations right across the globe. The same Holy Spirit who Peter says is a witness is today in our lives, witnessing to us in every doubt, in every situation and every circumstance, that Jesus is the Prince and the Savior of the world. In turn, we with confidence continue to witness to the world. How can we speak so confidently that it would seem like we were first-hand witnesses of the events of Christianity? It is the partnership of the Holy Spirit in our life who continually speaks through us. When everything was barren, lifeless, and dark, the Holy Spirit was hovering, and the greatest creative, explosive, divinely empowered act took place. And that was the creation of the world. Don't ever say, this is too tough, this is too difficult. The Holy Spirit within you will say, I was there hovering over a chasm, over a void, and I was instrumental to bring something out of nothing. Don't worry when you are trying to move things forward, but there is apathy. Who was it when Zechariah prophesies and says that these people who have grown lazy and apathetic will begin building again, but it will not be by might and it will not be by power, but it will be because of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, how will this be? A young girl says to the angel, how will this be? I'm just a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. You see, friends, the Holy Spirit is the answer. How do I accomplish what is before me? The Holy Spirit. How will your loved ones find Christ? The Holy Spirit. How will the permanent situation be turned into a temporary situation to be changed completely? The Holy Spirit. When the presence of the Most High, the Creator of all, the life-giving Spirit who reaches across his world and beyond, overshadows your life, miracles happen. Nothing we can do makes it happen except to welcome the Holy Spirit. Hover over me, overshadow my life, come down on me, cloak me, envelop me, Holy Spirit. That's the answer. Holy Spirit was with the apostles. The Holy Spirit is with you, and that's why you can continue. Thirdly and finally, let me ask you a question. Who were they following? Who were they following? They were following the one who shed his blood. The Sanhedrin said, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching about this man's blood, making us feel guilty. These are the very same people who sentenced Jesus to the cross. They accused him of blasphemy, condemned him in a mock trial. They were indeed guilty of his blood. However, isn't it amazing that these enemies of Jesus and the early church believed that Jerusalem was filled with the teaching on the blood of Jesus? May our homes and our towns and our cities and our nations be filled with the teaching of the blood of Jesus. May many know of the sacrificial death of Jesus for man's salvation. The enemy of your life does not want you to hear this. Our enemy is afraid of the power of the blood of Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Your life is built on the saving, cleansing, redeeming, justifying, reconciling, eternal, sanctifying, overcoming power of the blood of Jesus. Let's fill our Jerusalem with that message today. They were following the one who shed his blood. They were following the one who was raised to life. The God of our fathers, verse 30, raised Jesus from the dead. Putting Jesus to death was the worst decision that they had made. It was despicable that they would sentence the sinless Saviour to the cross. What's the worst thing that you have ever done? If God can raise Jesus from the grave, then he can right any wrong in your life also. But of course, there's one amazing thing about our sovereign God. You see, the Sanhedrin thought, and it looked like, that they were in control sentencing Jesus to death. The truth is that they were not in control. They were in the hands of God. Jesus came and laid his life down. He surrendered his spirit to the will of the Father for the salvation of the world. Jesus paid so that man does not need to pay for their sin. Even the work of the enemy sits in the sovereign plan of God. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Well, you might not see this right away. It may take longer than 3 days for the resurrection, but there will come a resurrection of you, and you will look back and see not the hand of the enemy, but the finger of God. They were following the one who shed his blood. They were following the one who was raised to life. They were following the one who is exalted. Verse 31, God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Saviour. Who is Jesus? Peter continues to address the Sanhedrin and he says, he is the Prince, and they understood that title very well. It was the title of the head of a tribe or the commander of an army or the leader of people. He is someone to follow. What he says is carried out, no questions asked. He has authority. He gives commanded work. He leads forward. And the question is he your prince? He is the Saviour. They understand this title well. What they had waited for has come. There is no other to come. The Saviour would bring freedom from captivity, but much more powerfully than they were expecting. He is Saviour because he saves and he sets free. He is the divine rescuer. The question is he your Saviour? They were following the one who died, the one who was raised to life. They were following the one who is exalted. They were following the one who is unstoppable. If this is from God, Gamaliel said, you won't be able to stop these men. Are you receiving from God? Then who can stop him from giving to you? Are you walking with him? Then who can stop you walking? Are you speaking his words? And who can silence you? Are you giving his love to others? And who can steal that from you? No action of God, no movement of God, nor his message or his acts of love can be stopped by man. We have an unstoppable God. If he has decided to bless you, then who can stop him? He has the name higher than any other authority, so who can come against him? The unstoppable God is within you. And today you may be facing a life of uncertainty and you may wonder if you're going to get through. Friend, you're going to get through. So step out today into what seems so very difficult, knowing that anything that comes against you comes against your God. They were following the one who shed his blood. They were following the one who was raised to life. They were following the one who was exalted. They were following the one who is unstoppable. And they were following the one worthy to suffer with great joy. They were rejoicing after they were flogged. I've been in church services where the members have affluent lifestyles and whose problems are based around what they thought they should have but didn't get. And I've been with them and their problems have so overwhelmed them that they have struggled to rejoice in any way. And I've been in church services where the members have lost what appears to be everything. The women have been brutalized, their children have been taken, their men have been maimed. And they have lost it all, and I have been there with them and I have been overwhelmed at their joy in praising Jesus. You see, those who appear to have it all sometimes don't have anything. Let me conclude. You can continue. Jesus sets you free. He has given you the Holy Spirit. You follow the one who is raised, exalted, and is unstoppable. So continue today. Day after day, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news. They never stopped. They didn't grow tired. They didn't lose focus. They didn't become afraid and begin to water down what they were proclaiming. They were not distracted. They didn't become soft. This was not just a season of mission. This was not just some sign up that would finish as soon as it started. They began and they continued. They were constant day after day. These were unstoppable people. They never stopped. They were telling people about Jesus. They were teaching people how to be a disciple. That's the crux of mission. Speak up. Continue. Don't be afraid, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, you can continue. Where were they? Contained, limited. Like the Apostle Paul, who says, don't look at me like I'm in prison, I'm sitting in the heavenly realms. Don't look at the containment of your circumstance. That's not who you are, and that's not where you are. God has brought you out, and he can bring you out. He can change your situation today. Secondly, the witness, Holy Spirit, who has seen everything since day one and before, is in your life and is speaking to you. Come on, you can keep going. I'm with you. I'm alongside you. I'm helping you. And they were following Jesus, our Prince, our Savior, our unstoppable God. May God bless you today.